You are listening to the Cycling Podcast in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Where are we, Lionel?
We are upstairs in the Hourglass Pub, your mate's brother's pub in South Kensington, for the inaugural cycling podcast, Cycling Scrabble Challenge, Richard.
Wow. We've got a special...
The CPCSC.
Special guest. A special
the
guest.
Christmas. That was cycling pod. So the CCPCSC.
Rolls off the tongue, that. That's Ned Bolting. Hi,
hello,
Ned.
Richard. Hello, Richard.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Richard.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Lionel.
Thank you,
Richard.
You're
looking very, very festive.
Well, we're all very festive. We're all wearing Santa hats, aren't we? What's more Christmassy than an argument over a board game? And I sense there may well be some arguing over this.
Well, let's set the arguments up. I mean, we've been arguing already over WhatsApp about exactly how this is going to work.
We've been testing the ground rules a bit, haven't we? Trying to establish the parameters of the game.
Well, let's...
What are the origins of this?
The origins were that I said, why don't we record an episode of us playing cycling-themed Scrabble for the podcast
That's
for Christmas? Because everyone will love listening to this. And we thought that Ned Bolting would be the ideal third player. We couldn't just have played me against you, could we, Rich? That would have just ended in...
Aggro.
So... We've got to be on our best behaviour.
Am I only in because it's a bit beneath Daniel?
I think you're both being unkind. Daniel's in Germany.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
It's a bit far. Doing that remotely would be tricky. Okay. But
we wouldn't be able to tell whether he's cheating.
Yeah. He'd have lots of rules. But we do need lots of rules, Lionel. Well, that's where you come in now, because you. We were going to brief ourselves on how we were going to do this beforehand, but you insisted, no, the recorder must be on.
Yeah. Well, in honour of professional cycling, where the unwritten rule is king, the rules are unwritten, but the general spirit of fair play is that every word that goes down on the board has to have an obvious and undisputed connection to the world of professional cycling. There's going to be a...
Straight away.
I like undisputed.
We're in VAR territory. We are. We're in clear and obvious territory, which, as everybody knows who's watched football over the last year, there is no such thing as clear and obvious.
So if I dispute your word, it's invalid.
No, I think it's a two against one dispute. But not in a... I think there has to be a challenge.
In a game of three, this could be problematic.
Okay, so we vote. We vote on the clear
I think
obvious.
So, but we have to, within the spirit
We've
of
also
Christmas...
We've also got Simon Gill here. Maybe he can be an arbiter.
Okay, let me give you an example, for example. Roubaix would be permitted. Paris possibly wouldn't be permitted.
So Roubaix, yes. Paris, no.
I think Paris would...
One of the iconic teams.
Paris... Is not a cycling word. It's is that too, what your contention
it's
is?
Too
That's remarkable. But Isn't it remarkable? The Tour de France finishes in Paris every year, and Paris somehow doesn't make the cut.
Here we go.
I think. I mean, it's.
What about Speyside?
Well, we've been there. I suggested Motherwell because the Tour Series has gone there for the last 5 years. I've been to bike races in Motherwell.
In the world, is Paris best known for being the capital of France, Paris, or is it best known for hosting the final stage of the Tour de France?
But we're not in the world, we're in cycling Scrabble world. I think it's ridiculous not to have Paris. But I'm going to make a point of putting Paris down and putting it to the vote.
And I'm going to challenge it, and then it'll be down to Richard.
But Lionel's going to be the one with the letters P-A-R-I-N-S.
Resolutely not put it down.
Look, the point is that I would rather see a good... You know, a cycling surname or the name of a climb or, you know, a team sponsor.
I think here's where we're all glad that Daniel Freeb isn't playing, right? Yeah. I mean, the numbers of very, very distinct Apennine climbs no one's heard of would be peppered all across.
Hey, Vontu would be a high scoring word,
wouldn't it? Well, I'm looking forward to getting Zakarin down on a triple word score. But we should commence.
Are Russian words allowed or are they banned?
Russian riders.
Russian words.
Are we playing to IOC rules
well,
here?
Well, currently, and I know this is a surprise to people, but currently cycling-themed Scrabble is not an Olympic discipline. So until it is, the Russians are allowed to feature. Okay. Without any further ado,
shall we get we've got our bag little, of letters?
We've got our little House of Commons-themed green benches for our letters.
Yep.
We all draw seven letters from the bag. Then we will all draw one letter, and the one the closest to A will go first, and then the next will go second. And
that's how it starts.
Third.
That's so how it starts. You're right.
And then
yeah, and a bit later on we'll be doing Secret Santa. Oh no, sorry. Only I'll be doing Secret Santa. I'll be giving you your Secret Santa gifts because you've come unprepared for that.
Brilliant.
Well, we weren't asked to bring a Secret Santa gift. I did bring Christmas hats, though. I should get something for that.
I'm drawing seven. There's three.
Well, hang on. Do you just draw one first? One letter first
no,
of all?
No, I'm going with seven. I'm going with
seven. Letter. Draw your seven letters, and then we'll just then you draw to see who goes first.
Oh, okay.
Have you got your seven, Ned?
Got your seven.
We're still in the neutralised rollout here and bickering already.
One, two.
Ooh. Ho, ho, ho.
Three, four.
Halfway to a Belgian semi-classic already.
Het.
Five, six.
Would het count?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think it probably would. I mean, I think if you, as the rule is, you as you put your word down, you have to define it, and then we'll see. Right, what have we got?
Bloody, I've got Zoetemelk already.
Oh, sorry. No, it's more difficult than I thought.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
This is going to be tricky. This might not work.
There's a simultaneous turnover now,
I guess
it?
So.
Okay.
Oh, blank wins.
Blank wins.
Unless O second, blank. And oh, I'm yeah. you, so I go third.
Okay.
So, Richard, good. You get to kick off.
Good. I'm quite relieved about that.
The fastest clothing in the world tour. The home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Ratha in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Richard, we may have to relax the Paris rule here. This is harder than
well,
I anticipated.
Known as the Paris rule. Well, I'm going to go. It's not very impressive, but it'll get things started. It's a thing close to my heart. Here we go.
I'll commentate this, shall I? There's an R gone down and an A.
Rafa.
And an S. The RAS. He's gone for a three-letter word, scoring him 3 points potentially.
Well, you get double for your first...
Indisputably,
first, score.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but it's still
you
not very impressive.
Decided that's the case, have you?
No, that's
no, you
right.
do.
Absolutely
you do.
In all the right. international rules of
fine.
If it I'm had not, been no, Rafa, that would have been a good opportunity to say thanks very much to Rafa for sponsoring
so,
the cycling podcast.
So you score six.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Thanks to Rafa for.
So I'm going
to
go.
This is our last Rafa episode, so we should say thanks. Big thanks to Rafa for supporting us over the last. Three and a half years.
How's that?
Very good.
He's only
I
the
like
world
it.
Road race champion. I've gone for Mads.
Excellent.
And I've placed my M on a double letter score and a D on a double letter score. So I've got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 points scored.
Well, I've somehow got eight letters. Does that mean I can...
Thanks, Tom.
Well, you've somehow cheated already.
I've cheated already, inadvertently.
Lionel, are you finally ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm finally ready.
Okay.
he's building
a cross now. He's building onto
no, not Paris.
He's building onto the end of Mads. He's gone G E S L Ges Hessink. No, he's not gone Hessink. I thought he was going Hessink.
Unless he just doesn't know how to spell Hessink.
Hessling.
Anthony Geslin.
Gelin.
French pro rider, rode briefly, I think, for Français de Jure. Geslin. Are you challenging?
No, because...
Well,
you make me
I'm
feel
gonna,
foolish.
I'm going to check, because I'm now doubting myself here.
You'll be disappointed.
I mean, there's Elie Gébert, isn't there, who set fire to his hotel room the other...
But I don't have the letters for that now.
No, I know, but there's a French rider beginning with GES.
Yeah. Bert at the end there.
That's good, though. I mean... Assuming that passes, that's pretty good.
Anthony Jeslin, retired French professional road race, who last rode for Groupama FDJ. Born in Alençon, turned pro in 2002.
Any French name at all will have been a professional cyclist at some time. Yeah,
that could be a rule that we don't do first names. I've literally done a Danish first name.
So for that, I get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
So after one round, I'm in the lead.
I'm still thinking.
While you're thinking, you're giving me a hard time for picking obscure riders. Jeslin was a bronze medalist in the World Championship Road Race in 2005 behind Tom Bonin.
Yeah, bronze medal though, isn't it?
Wow.
Who was the bronze medalist this year in the World Road Race Championship?
Mats Pedersen was first.
Exactly.
Stefan Kung?
Stefan Kung.
Ooh, back of the net.
Was he?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Trenton
finished second. Who was in that group? Kung was there, wasn't he? Yeah, it must have been Kung.
Kung was third. Yeah.
Jeslin has also won...
I'm uncomfortable about you pronouncing the S, but I don't know for sure that you might be right.
Do you think it's Jeslin? Jeslin.
I don't know, which is why I'm uncomfortable about it, because I should know, because it's kind of my job.
As a commentator.
Although he's obviously long since retired.
But he won Paris Camembert, he won the Trophée de Grimpeur, he won the Brabantse Appeal. Yeah, good one-day pedigree.
Brabantse Appeal will get you a lot of points, wouldn't it?
Simon. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got somebody helping you over there, Richard.
Yeah, but not very well, unfortunately.
So you know, podcast listeners, there's been a bit of editing that doesn't give you a full sense of the kind of stretch of time that is.
This is now 3¾ hours
to fill most
started.
Of the afternoon while Richard deliberates. I mean, it is just remarkable. I wanted to bring a bit of kit to this party from my Prestige Scrabble edition that I've got at home, which is a little Scrabble timer, Lionel, but unfortunately I lost it somewhere on the way to the...
Yeah, I do think we need a stricter enforcement
sort of rules, because at the moment it's ridiculous. It's like one of those old school test matches that used to last 16 days or something, isn't it?
I mean, this is equivalent to allowing Mark Cavendish to carry on in the tour after he finished outside the time limit in the Alps a couple of years ago.
This is,
Cavendish, you could do Cav, have you got a C, you've got an A, V, you got
No. A V would be very helpful, actually.
But you haven't got one.
No.
Well, you've got to play the letters that you're dealt.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of that, Lionel. That's the stumbling block to be playing at the moment.
I was imagining that hordes of our listeners would be replicating this game over Christmas with their cycling pals.
Don't do it.
Massively
don't
put off it, by listeners. What they're hearing, to be honest, at the moment.
It's tougher than I thought, I must admit. It is tougher than I thought, despite there being a wealth of cycling-related names and words.
We got off to a good start there, didn't we? The three letters that are down on the board, I think we can be happy with.
Want to call it quits there? I know.
Here we go. So he's gone for the R, and he's eaten into my double letter score that I had an eye on. So that's irritated me. Rhein Tarame.
Yeah.
So Rhein, R-E-I-N, and he's placed the E rather feebly on a double letter score, and he's scored five.
My scoring so far hasn't been great.
I can see.
But you have ruined my next go. So
well
done.
How many are you going for there?
What do you mean, how many am I going for?
How many
for?
Points? How many points?
Am I allowed to just say how many points I'd like for that? I'll have 30 points for that, please.
2, 3, 4. And do you get the one for that as well?
Yeah.
5?
Yeah.
Yep.
You move on to 11.
There you go.
Oh, Ewan.
So it's straight in. I've gone for Ewan, as in Caleb Ewan, and I've got it on a triple word score. So that's 7 times 3, 21 scored. Thank you.
You are running away with this.
Well, it's a bit of a moment quite early here, Lionel.
Very big moment, this. I'm going to swap all my 7 letters for 7 more letters.
This is like going for
sacrifice a go.
It's like going for an early bike change in a time trial,
isn't it? But will I be able to get back on?
Well,
that's the question.
The terrain might change. The wind might get up.
That's the question. Let's see.
He didn't even do that very well. Dropped a letter. Anyway, we're back on track. How does anybody focus their mind with that going on?
I mean, that's from the wrong letters game.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I've got a word here I could put down, but it's another name. So I'm reluctant to do that, but I think I just have
but
to
I don't
do that.
I don't think there's any rule against names. I mean, they're all names so far.
Okay, here's one. Here's one from a bit of history.
Interesting.
Remember him?
Lech. Lech Piasecki.
Lech Piasecki. Remember him, Polish rider with a moustache?
Oh, of course, he's called Lech.
Wore the yellow jersey in the 1987 Tour de France, I think.
I think you're right.
Rode for Del Tongo.
Tongo, gotta put Tongo down.
Let's just check that.
Did ride for Del Tongo. He also, I thought he maybe won the prologue in the Giro. He was a bit of a prologue specialist, wasn't he?
Indeed.
He did. He won the prologue in the Giro in 1989 in Pizarro. Your favourite place, Lionel.
Indeed. But it was in the Tour de France that he obviously took the yellow jersey. He was second in the prologue in West Berlin, and then his team did well in the team time trial, and he took the yellow jersey. In that 1989 Giro, he was the only man then to beat Greg LeMond in that final time trial.
I can assure you that there are no telephones being scrolled through that are connected to the internet. This is all coming straight off the top.
That's okay. We're checking pro cycling stats on that. Yeah, that's allowed after you've put the word down.
Yeah. He's not the most famous Lech, is he? I mean,
is he not?
No, I'd say that the leader of the Polish Unionist Solidarity movement.
Yeah, but in cycling Scrabble, he's definitely the most famous Lech. And the most famous moustache in cycling, arguably, would you say? Erz Fruller,
Mitch Docker,
yeah.
Yeah, and that was that anyway. Danish time trialist, Rasmus Kvarde. You had that.
How many points would you like for that there, Richard?
I'd like a lot. I mean, it's not a lot of points, though, because I'm not in any magical squares.
Nine.
He squandered his C and his H.
I know.
A little bit. I know. There, but I'm just also relieved to have gone.
I'm trying to open up the game a bit as well, so I'm taking it down the board, and that'll hopefully open it up. I'm opening up opportunities for you guys.
Should clarify, we are playing. The classification is on points rather than on
time
because otherwise we'd be. This is legendary from Ned. He's even got a face for putting down letters. It's assertive and yet very self-satisfied.
I've got Tom Bonin.
Many points there.
No, it's a bit lame like that, but a lot of simple, low-hanging fruit there.
A lot of anticipation in that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
9 points for Bonin. Comfortably in the lead at the moment, 42 points, Ned. Richard on 20. I'm still languishing on 9, but I do have a go in hand, so we'll stop the tape while I have much too much thinking time.
Lionel's ready to play.
Finally.
A bit lame, I'm afraid, but it's going down on a double word score. Which is going to give me...
Oh, that was where I was going to put...
It's a former yellow jersey in the Tour de France. Another French, obscure Frenchman.
Pascal Lino.
I thought you were going to go Vino for a minute, which would have been a challenge.
Three, four. No abbreviations, Ned. Okay. Sorry, yeah. I think
Vino would be
Vino
all right.
Would be fine.
I would have voted Vino.
Circumstances where we're really struggling to come up with anything at all.
8 measly points, lagging a long way behind here.
And I was going to put Mayo there as an Iban.
Oh.
So there goes that. Score for me.
Still quite a lot of letters in the bag, chaps. Goodness me.
Are we allowed descriptive words for cycling?
Well, I'll give you a description. It's gone dark outside. Lionel and I have had a conversation about...
This is not actually going to be my my word, but...
What are you playing?
I did contemplate the putting that down.
Hard.
Cycling's hard.
It is hard. No. Cycling is hard.
Are you going to put that to the vote?
It's not as hard as cycling Scrabble, but it is hard. Cycling.
Okay, that's not that wasn't your go.
No,
okay.
No, it's not.
Would you have voted that down, Ned?
I would have voted that down, Lionel.
I wouldn't, because I could have used that D on the end there.
okay, but my real word is going to be...
He's gone ADR. ADR. Allgemeine Deutscher Rundfunk.
No.
Well, you could have had that. Oh, that's ARD, isn't it? Allgemeine Rundfunk Deutschland, ARD, so you couldn't have had that.
No.
So ADR, the haulage company that didn't pay its riders in 1989 while Greg LeMond won the Tour de France.
That's correct.
Hold that thought, because... I am going to go, and it's my go now. See,
how many points do you want for that, Richard?
I'll have 3, 5, 6.
I'm going to go with a three-letter cycling sponsor. Yeah.
Right, look at the two look at the two letters I just got to replace my D and my R.
A D and an R. Oh. I'm going Elf. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Elf.
Yeah.
So Renault Elf. Renault
and
Elf.
I placed the F on a double letter score. I'm quite happy about that. So it's 10.
Oh. He pulls out of the bag again.
I mean, literally. He's so far ahead, Ned, here.
Physically pulling it out of the bag.
The board is getting... this is getting slightly stitched up, the board. It's hard to...
Well, Scrabble, Lionel. This is what happens in Scrabble, generally.
Mm.
There's one word in particular I'm hoping to find space for on the board, but I won't reveal it unless it happens.
Well, listeners, I've been in a position where I could have put down Juez, as in Alpe d'Huez, for about the last half an hour, but the
on a double word score
on
as well.
A double letter words on a double word score, but
well, you've got the H. Is the H not the issue?
Yeah, the H isn't the issue here.
Have you got the Z?
I've got the Z.
What about
you
and the E?
It's either a U or the
E. If I had the U and the E, U and the E and the Z, I'd be putting it down, you fool.
So you've only got a Z. Is that what you're saying?
I've got. Let's not give away the letters I've got, but I've got two of the letters required. Out of three.
Ned, what does the off season hold for you? What do you get up to in the off season? You normally do a theatre tour.
I normally do a theatre tour. I did it last 3 years and I kind of burnt out a bit. Had a lot on last year.
So you took a year off?
I took a year off from the theatre tour, but we are back with a vengeance next year, so 30 dates in the diary. And
30?
30. And tickets are going to go on sale in February. Problem is, I haven't written any of it yet, so I've got not the faintest idea. And as you know, it's all quite intricate material for 2 hours. And
well, you don't know what's going to happen yet, because you usually base it on the season, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of stitched my... Last year, I based my show on the 2018 Tour de France, with digressions here, there and everywhere. But I did base it on the 20, which seemed like a really good idea. And then I realised it had a shelf life of 1 year. So I realised it was quite a bad idea. So I might make it a little bit more generic this time around for 2020. Yeah. Other than that, Richard, like so many of us sat around this table, we'll all share this feeling, I think, at some or other time in our lives. I'm struggling hard to write a book. That's what I do in the winter as well. So, yeah. And struggling hard to find another letter here.
But you've also just published the road second book. Volume yeah. of the road book.
That's out and and continues to be a source of enormous pride and satisfaction, because it's a hell of an undertaking, you know. And it's gone really well. It's been very, you know, because we're essentially asking people to buy into something for want of a better word, for life, you know. There's a kind of lifetime of collection potentially here. So in a way, even though every cycling year has its own different flavour and narrative, and I think, as you guys will have doubtless talked about in all your podcasts, I think 2019 was amazingly refreshing in all sorts of different unexpected ways. You know, that's on the one hand, all that content is reflected in the 900 pages of the road, but on the other hand, we are asking people to buy, you know, the same thing to also, you know, as a physical property. It kind of looks the same and is the same. But the writing's different and the races are different and the stories. And the thing I'm really, now that we have a year of history behind us, the thing I'm really pleased about is even now I'm getting a sense of what it might look like in 10 years' time, that, like, because 2019 has superseded 2018, already 2018 is now, when you pick up the volume and flick through it and just kind of happen upon a race, already it's kind of viewed through that slightly fuzzy lens of nostalgia. It's like when you go onto YouTube and you click footage from even really relatively recently, and you look at the 2013 Tour de France, and it somehow feels antiquated, but by antiquated, it kind of adds to its mystique in some ways. When it's fresh and new and current, it doesn't have. But it doesn't take long before it accrues that history, and I think that's the principle of the road book. It's like cellaring the year, and it's only going to get better, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. I mean, these things fade into the past very, very quickly. I remember Geraint Thomas saying that he'd been into the Pinarello store, I think, in London, and seen Bradley Wiggins' Tour de France winning bike from 2012, and he said it looked like a museum piece, you know, and it does, you know, and that feels like yesterday. That feels very, very recent indeed.
Yep.
But if you go on clips of that, even the kit, the hairstyles, the fashions, the look and the feel of it, it seems very, very dated already.
Yeah, yeah,
amazing.
And things that were, and this is the trick, isn't it, of the kind of passage of time. Things that were and genuinely were at the time relatively banal occurrences somehow feel less banal when viewed through the the rear telescope, the rear view telescope of time. You know, it's a strange thing. It's a trick.
Well, speaking of Bernal. if you can plug stuff, we can plug stuff too. And our friends program for 2020 has just gone live. And Ned, you feature quite a lot in episode one.
I had a listen. I never listened back to my commentary. So it was a remarkable day's racing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I kind of put it to bed straight away and got on as you do on the race. You think about the next day's racing straight away. And this came across in your Friends of the Podcast special, yeah?
Don't pretend you don't know, Ned. Come on, you signed up.
I just wanted to get it exactly right. Friends of the Podcast special.
Yeah.
This comes across in your episode that everybody involved in the race, whether it was you guys charging around the place podcasting, the riders actually racing it, the DS is in the car, Seb Piquet, who features heavily in it, myself commentating. All of us, and I include, by the way, the people who empty the toilets and put out the sandwiches at the finish line and the barriers because the conditions were so awful, and the hundreds of thousands of spectators involved, everyone was improvising that day. Everyone was having to react to changing situations, react to extraordinary, conditions, and people were concentrating furiously, and I think it was it's great to relive it in those.
And what we probably didn't give enough credit to on the day and at the time was the quality of the improvisation by the tour organization and the officials that day and the quickness with which they came to a decision and a contingency plan.
Well, really. it was that stuff, and it does come across, that stuff that you don't really stop to think about unless you're heavily involved on the inside, but is actually incredibly important. Like, okay, so you stop the race there, but how do we get all the riders back to the hotel? Where do we get that fleet of buses and vehicles parked up on the side of a, and that was very interesting.
Well, we're very quick to criticise, aren't we, generally? The ASO, UCI, all the kind of people that run the sport, we're quick to criticise and slow
the guy,
to praise.
The guy you didn't interview that I would love to interview about that stage was Uran. Do you remember his histrionics?
Yeah,
he was the only guy who found a moto camera and gestured, in a kind of Latino way. Gestured is frustration with.
Well,
the whole
it's funny
situation,
you should say that because somebody, one of our friends of the podcast, said he'd love to hear Iran's
maybe say sorry
comments from that day. Well, he was one of the only voices apart from Lionel Burney who was sort of complaining about a decision that was made that day. But
Lionel Burney complaining?
Yeah, you know what he's like. But I think the actually just since that episode came out,
what should they have done? Just ridden through the land?
Yeah.
Was that
put on? Snow
cyclocross.
Chains.
Cross.
What? Well, actually, hold that thought because the Lionel and I did have an argument that night.
Mm. What proper argument?
And you'll hear about
proper
that
argument.
In episode two for Friends of the Podcast, which is
I can commentate on
a mashup of our live shows.
Get David Miller in for expert analysis.
And is he good at that?
What? Yes.
Analyzing arguments.
Yeah, he's very good at it. He'll get philosophical about it.
Well, we spoke about that in our live show in Edinburgh, and that's part of our new Friends of the Podcast episode. Sign up at thecyclingpodcast.com/subscribe. We've got a new system. It's very, very easy. It costs £15 for the year. If you pay £50 or £100, you will get a signed copy of our new book, The Grand Tour Diaries. And look, Ned, Merry Christmas.
Oh, cycling book. Thank you very much. I love the picture of Matt White on the front, by the way. I think it's very, very good.
Did not cycling.
Yep. Simon, that's a great picture.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's the most Matt White thing I think I've ever seen.
Well, you were up there that day, Simon.
He was scuttling around, not really knowing anything any more than anyone else.
No, it's a brilliant picture. And I love the fact he's got his accreditation flapping around. There's so many times on the Tour de France where I've had to run fast from A to B, especially when I was reporting. And that flapping accreditation thing is such a pain in the bum, isn't it? Because it gets you, like, flicks around your ears and it kind of, like, snags in things.
And yet it's very comforting because when you can't feel it snagging around your neck,
then you worry.
Oh, no, I'm going to get locked out of the bubble.
Somebody on Twitter actually asked if that was one of the idiots that runs on the course disrupting the race. Lionel, have you come up with a word?
I've got a cracking selection of letters, but I'm really struggling here. My mind has gone blank. There's no more riders... French riders from the 80s and 90s that I can think of.
He's cracked.
He's only gone and done it.
Okay.
I'm completely
He's
cracked.
Gone for the default one.
I've put down EF.
There was an F tempting him in. He had an E and he's just gone
absolutely
EF.
The nadir of the game so far. But
hang on,
so far
hang on,
the
is
back
it not
here.
EF education first is the... is the actual
they won't like
name.
It. We won't unfortunately, like it, we decided that's going down.
Anti-post, we decided that we would accept TF, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Well, just
you might not accept this one though.
Five terrible points. Move on.
You might not accept this one, but I'm going to argue my case in court. I'm going to go Hoy.
Why wouldn't we accept
that's
that?
That's fine.
Well, I wasn't
I'm
sure whether
this
was
Hui, as in Moore de Hui.
Well, I would have done Hui because it would have been loads better, but I didn't have a U, I only had an O. And even if you hadn't accepted it as the Scottish track rider, an Olympian, I would have gone, yes, but it's also Spanish for today, isn't it? And there's always a bike race today in Spain.
No. I don't see why we wouldn't accept
Well, I wasn't sure whether this was road racing Scrabble.
If we
Scrabble.
Accept Lech.
So we're now, we've now opened up the
Rhine,
world of track.
Rhein Taramai.
We've now opened up the world of track.
Yeah, I think cycling is
professional.
Cycling,
the art professional. It's undoubted that Chris Hoy was a professional cyclist.
Fine. I'm not, you know.
So
what did I get?
How many numbers?
Nine.
By the way, it's disqualified because it's actually not your go, Ned.
Oh, nuts.
It's not your go, Ned. Sorry, it's Richard's go. Richard, if you could just use that H.
Well, I was going to do Hui, but that would involve using my blank, so I might not. Let me have a think.
Well, you've gone, Richard, you've gone, to your credit, it was quicker than the last few goes. You've gone Rai, as in the Italian state broadcaster, R-A-I.
If you
I think it has to go to a vote. We haven't had a vote yet. Argue your case, Richard, because I'm hesitating on this one.
How long will it take for you to come up with an alternative?
I mean,
well, we were talking earlier about whether ARD might be acceptable. I think there are certain TV channels, you know, if you watch the Giro, if you watch old clips of the Giro, it's always Rai.
Yeah.
So in a cycling context, Rai, for an English-speaking cycling fan, Rai equals Italian cycling, doesn't it?
Yeah, I vote for it.
Like Sporza. Yeah, fine. Sporza.
You're there. All right.
Yeah.
So over the threshold.
How many points?
Or ITV4.
Yes.
How many letters there?
How many points would you get for a four?
Six.
You know, most people think they're watching it on Channel 4, don't they?
Yeah.
It's very funny. Actually.
So you'll go, Ned. You can now get your Hoy down.
Oh yes, yeah, I can.
See,
I'll do
that. Right. I was gonna.
I'm gonna put
that,
Hoy then.
I'm
we know all about that. Hoy's going in. That was worth.
Do you
nine.
Spot a bit of cheating there, Simon? Do you a little bit of cheating there from me?
Nine points there, Ned. Is that right?
Nine for
but
me.
But not. It didn't help
what
me.
The scores?
Actually,
the scores are Ned 61.
Let's
Richard 32, and I'm with a go in hand 22.
You've not got a go in hand though, have you?
Yeah,
you
I have.
You haven't got. Oh, you have got a go in hand. Sorry. Okay. Notice you flicking through the book there, Ned. Like what you
see? I did. I flicked through it. Yeah,
you're gonna read that over Christmas.
You've got the three. Ask me that question again.
You can read that over Christmas.
Yeah, right. you've got the three Grand Tours diarised
and the Women's Tour
and the Women's Tour. So that's
correct.
That's good. Sorry, I didn't really say it there, did I? It looks good. I'm going to read it. It might be one of those I dip in and out of in the bar.
Well, it's a dipper in and outer, that's for sure. Is it time for Secret Santa, maybe?
Okay, let's do Secret Santa.
Is it time for Secret Santa?
So just to remind listeners, this is one way Secret Santa, isn't it? Because
actually,
you without telling us, instituted a Secret Santa.
I tried to get you a proper present, Ned.
So it's not really secret in the sense that it's from Richard.
I tried to get you a book called Homing by John Day, which is about pigeon racing.
Okay.
And you would love this book. So I couldn't get it.
Okay.
He's written a book about cycling as well, actually, this guy. But look out for it. John Day, Homing.
Okay.
You will really enjoy that book. I tried in Watterson's and
Don's. I like books. Deep dives in things I know nothing about.
That's exactly
at the moment
what
I'm,
this is.
I'm enjoying it. I'm
it's
reading a lot about the Balkans.
Right.
I've got into a very, very deep dive in Balkan history at the moment, which is proving quite difficult to get out of. But
there's
maybe I need a book about homing
lots
pigeons.
And this is about the whole notion of homing and why we as humans
like
to have homes as well, about nesting and about the pigeons' incredible ability to find their way home from.
Yeah,
hundreds of miles away.
And do we understand it? Does
no.
the science know
no,
how?
No, no, no,
we
they don't.
Really do
There's lots of theories about how they do it, and why they do it.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
So
but you didn't get me that. You got
didn't
me
get that.
You got me this.
But
instead.
You can open up your Secret Santa presents.
Well, one-handed because I'm holding the microphone in the other. So if I drop it, will it break? I don't think it will.
They're both very pertinent and relevant. Okay. I think you'll find.
This is like a frenzy of present opening here. This is Lionel's.
gotten his out. Lionel, what have you got?
Well, I've got a little flip over book slash. Is that a book? It's not really a book, is it? But it's
a way of navigating your way through life, Lionel.
If the worst comes to the worst, are you suggesting that I'm in some way
fatalistic? There's lots of handy little bits of a.
I would develop gratitude for every apparently minor thing. I would recognize every day that unfolded without further catastrophe as the blessing it truly was.
These are little life lessons for Lionel, aren't they?
Is this? Thanks, Richard. Yeah. That might save me next year.
It might. Take that. Might,
that might just.
On the
just keep, I mean, this is. Does a company it have any with pictures of. A train that's crashed and a car that's bursting out of a car park. And
well, that's the worst. If the worst happened, and a naked man running into the sea.
Well, that's going to be my inevitable end, isn't it? You'll just find a part
of it. Reggie Perrin, that, isn't
you'll
it?
You'll just find my Pedaleur de Charme t-shirt on the beach, and you'll know that I've just wandered off to my fate.
Yeah, right. And Ned?
I've got a sparkly Christmas tree bauble in a Union Jack design. you know me very well.
And, well, you famously had a flag on your bike for
I
a
did.
While.
It was St. England.
George's Cross
it
flag.
Was, it was England. Yeah. You've gone for the full United Kingdom, presumably for as long as it lasts. I'm going to have to get a Christmas tree now, haven't I?
Do you not have a Christmas tree?
I can't stand the bloody things.
Really?
No, ridiculous. Ridiculous things.
You don't have a Christmas tree?
No. Why would you have a Christmas tree?
Well, now you've got every reason to get one.
No, you're right. I'll go and get a Christmas tree simply to hang this Brexit ball from the top of it.
What do you have instead of a Christmas tree? And how did you...
A corner of a room.
How does your family feel about this? Is there not...
quite angry.
Wow.
Yeah. No.
I thought you were a joiner in, Ned.
No, I'm a joyless human. But I've been cheered by this bauble, and it's good because I came here. It's getting dark outside now, and I came here missing my rear bike light. So I'm thinking the sparkly bauble dangling from the back of my bike might just get me out of jail.
If the worst comes to the worst, I would learn I had far fewer friends, but the ones who remained would be the true ones, the ones who could see past my brackets ruined social status to the genuine me beneath. Lots of consolation here, Lionel.
Whoa.
How's that word coming along?
Oh my god! This has turned out to be the Milan San Remo of board games, hasn't it?
Well, if the worst comes to the worst,
there's going to be a big, exciting finale after hours of drudgery,
6.5 hours of boredom, followed by me tipping the board up and all the letters scattering everywhere.
I had a friend who did that once. And you know they have a fold in the middle of the board, a Scrabble board, and he kind of folded it up like a kebab, I suppose.
Sandwich.
And then tilted it and just kind of swallowed all the... Well, didn't swallow them, just pouched them in his mouth and then spat them back out in the air. And that was the end of the game.
We're reaching that
in,
point.
In doing so, just have interest, did he produce any words with a cycling connection? Is it worth a try?
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Okay, here we go. Lionel's given up. I'll leave you with your little motivational book. Now, Matt Rendell would be proud of me here, Ned.
Oh, you're going Colombian? Are you though? Dyer Quintana.
Dyer Quintana. When you think Quintana,
who has moved with Dyer. Has moved to Arkea Samsic, hasn't he? I'm just saying Arkea and Samsic, just in case that helps Lionel.
Good show.
That's good.
I could have put down six. Arkea Samsic.
10, 11, 12.
Now that's interesting. I'm going to have a little think. I was prepared to go, but this may offer me, because you've gone right across the board and you've potentially opened up
I'd like
the
to
triple
think
word
done,
score as well.
Done everyone a good
that would
turn.
Be a leap, but yeah, I'll have a go. For the sake of the game, just to move it on a bit, I'm going to go, and it may be challenged, I'd accept this might be challenged, I'm going to go Aras. A-R-R-A-S.
Yeah, I
multiple stage town on the tour.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with that.
I think the
no one's going to change that. It's only worth 5 points anyway.
The Paris rule has bitten the dust long, long ago.
I don't see. Have you got Paris by any chance?
No, I haven't. No.
You again, Lionel?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just yeah.
A P on the front, and it's Paris. Lionel, talk us through. What have you gone from
terrible,
here?
Terrible waste of my high scoring letters here, but I put down Zach.
Oh,
the nickname of Ilnur Zakarin, and also Zach Dempster. A waste of my 10. Yeah,
you don't get double points for it referring to two different riders.
No, unfortunately not. It's not on any bonus squares at all, so just a measly 16 points.
Oh, come on. There's nothing measly about 16 points, doesn't matter how, you know, easy it was.
But I'm sure that Z and K will come in a lot of handy for other players.
Mm. Whose turn is it now? Ned?
It's Ned. It's Richard's turn.
Oh, my turn. Ed Clancy, Yetsy Bull.
Yetsy Ed. That's very excellent. Clever. And he's put, I have to say, we're going to have to give it to him, but he's placed a J on a triple word score. Which is
game changer.
He's played a blank tile.
Game changer.
And he might well have overhauled me in the lead. Well, he will have done. That's
nine, 10,
that's put me under
11,
some pressure now.
33, 34, 35, 36.
That is big.
On top of
that's
44,
massive. He has taken the lead. That's Yetze Bol. That's amazing. And Ed Clancy. I mean, are we going to let that go?
How many Eds, don't you?
Ed Clancy.
I had to present it as a package, obviously.
Can we have a vote on Ed Clancy?
I think, to be honest,
are you going to come to the defense?
I'm going to back him up here because how many world and Olympic medals has Ed Clancy won? I mean,
three, right? Three consecutive gold medals.
So I mean, how much more cycling could he be?
I know, and also he's one of the nicest bike riders I've ever met. So I'd feel bad throwing him off the board.
Disappointing.
It's pushing it.
So that makes that an E there. This blank tile.
Yeah.
Ned,
I'm placing one letter down, Richard, albeit on a double letter score.
EF again.
No.
Egg.
Nicholas Egg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
EG. Five. 5 points. Lionel's gone to the loot, so I'm going to have to add my own score up here. 71 plays 80. And Lionel, frankly, is still out of it.
Lionel, that trip to the loo seems to have done you the world of good.
Dreadful. I thought I'd be really good at this, but my brain is just not working quickly enough. I'm off the pace. I've had to resort to terrible nicknames, Zach and Rog.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Which I don't endorse or approve of at all, normally.
Did you like my new nickname that I've come up with for Dylan Groenewegen?
Sorry, I literally have only just understood Rog. It's Roglic.
Rog.
No, it's not his nickname. His nickname's Rogler.
Yeah, but we call him Rog on the podcast.
Nah, sorry. You can't have that. Rog?
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Roglahoy.
Roglahoy.
What? So, because it's an insider thing, I totally challenge it, but I understand now that this is a stitch up, isn't it?
No.
Because you're
going
to vote it through. You can't have a Rog. I mean, if you can't. Well, no, you can't have Rog. You can't have Rog.
Well, get rid of those 4 points then.
He's going to win the Tour de France, though, isn't he? Rog.
Yes, he is.
Apparently, well, we're speaking on the day of the Jumbo Visma launch, actually, in Holland.
Oh, so it's probably been superseded by a press release that says Roglic will not be racing the Tour de France.
No, they've said that Roglic, Dumoulin and Stephen Kruijswijk all riding the Tour de France.
Well, Kruijswijk's targeting the Vuelta.
Yes.
Besides, he wouldn't have won the Tour anyway, but what a super domestique. So it's between Dumoulin and Roglic, isn't it? And I think if they all, you know, I think all other things being equal, if they get to the starting post with a shared leadership role, I think Roglic is a stronger proposition.
Hmm. Probably right, but how will they, without a time trial until the penultimate day, how will that
be such
a
Roglic-y time trial, though, isn't it?
You could argue Dumoulin as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The world title he won finished with a very, very steep climb.
Yeah, that's true. Just think about the last couple of years of racing and the trajectories of both riders.
Mm. Would you enjoy commentating on a Roglic Tour de France victory?
I think so, yeah. I think
you're a Roglic admirer?
I'm a Roglic admirer, yeah.
Like Daniel. He's a big...
I think I am. Aru. Well, we've been talking about Roglic. Oh, Lionel has just literally gone Aru, who's a man who will not be winning the 2020 Tour de France.
Although, apparently...
I loved Pogacar's. I loved his press release saying, I'm there to support Fabio Aru, just like I was at the Vuelta.
Well, the Scrabble's over. Lionel, who was the winner?
Well, I don't know really, because we had to pack up very quickly. It's very much like stage 19 of the Tour de France. An abrupt
conditions changed very quickly and we all had to think on our feet.
Yeah. And
we were kicked out because we booked the room for a couple of hours thinking that would be enough. That would be enough, but turns out it was much harder than we anticipated and it wasn't nearly long enough.
Our brains work very slowly. In my defence, my brain was in a really big gear and so it was ticking over extremely slowly. But I think this explains why Henri Desgrange didn't ride the very first Tour de France. It was his idea, more or less, but he didn't take part. And I probably shouldn't have taken part in that game of cycling Scrabble.
Well, I think the score bears that out, Lionel.
No, but... I was definitely on the podium in third place.
Yeah, well done.
And it was quite close between you two, I think.
I was a long time leader, but a bit like Steven Kreisweig in the Alps in the 2016 Giro, I was an accident waiting to happen, and you were like the shark waiting to pounce, Richard, and you did with that amazing triple word score of Yetsebol.
I forced you into
Ed
ice
Clancy.
Banking with that, didn't I?
Yeah,
I
you did, you
crash.
Did. You did, but I soldiered on. I finished second. And I suppose I've got to be pleased with that.
I mean,
on my debut.
Replacing your letters, all of your letters at once, is a bit like crashing into an ice wall on the Agnello, isn't it?
It was a bit like that. You're right.
I'd like to think, though, that listeners out there in cycling clubs up and down the country will, for their next Christmas lunch, have a game of cycling-themed Scrabble. I'd love to see photographs of people's completed boards with terrific words on there, and maybe we'll give a prize to the best cycling Scrabble board photo that somebody tweets to us at cycling_podcast. Don't fix it. You're only cheating yourselves. It's got to be the result of a proper game.
Yeah.
We'll have no way of knowing whether that's the case or not, but you will,
but
and it'll be
to,
on your
you'll
conscience.
You'll have to look yourself in the mirror for
exactly,
the rest of your life.
Yeah, when you get a free copy of the Grand Tour Diaries, you'll know that you're reading that book dishonestly if you cheat.
You're going a long way down the road of presumption here, Lionel.
Well, it is cycling.
We were talking upstairs.
Cheating is second nature, isn't
we
it?
We were talking upstairs about Jumbo-Visma. Sorry to drag the conversation back to cycling, but they today have named their entire team for the Tour de France.
Who have?
Jumbo-Visma. Roglic, Dumoulin, Kreuzwijk, Tony Martin, Sepp Kuss, Laurens de Ploos, Robert Hessink and Wout van Aert.
No surprises there, though. I mean, that's an amazingly good team.
It's an odd thing to do, though, isn't it? To name the team in December.
I quite like it. I quite like it.
Unnecessary.
I'm trying to think. Didn't
Mitchelton Scott did that, didn't they? Did they do that last year? Or certainly... We had a very clear idea. I think Matt White knew who was riding the Giro and the Tour for them. But it's an unusual thing to do. But good team.
I remember going to when I used to cover the Champions League, going to a massive match between, I want to say Barcelona and Chelsea or something like that, but Mourinho certainly was asked a day before the match, and I think it was against Barcelona, you know, what he thought of the Barcelona team, and he just named them. He said, the Barcelona team, I'll name the starting 11, which is, no, in football, that's sacrosanct, never gets named until it's 11, 1 hour before kickoff, you know.
It's a bit like A.A. Gill once reviewed a restaurant in London by describing how to get there from Dundee. Just road by road, rather than actually describe how terrible the restaurant was. Anyway, we should wrap this up. I think you were asking Lionel upstairs, Ned, for his favourite cycling moment of the year. What's yours for our final podcast of the year? What stands out for you?
I'm like Lionel. I hate asking these questions. But if I can kind of like answer it, in a rather kind of like teasing and insincere way, but with a sincere sentiment behind it, I was genuinely kind of thrilled by a little viral Twitter video clip that I saw maybe yesterday or a couple of days ago that De Koninck Quickstep had retweeted, and it was Remco Evenepoel playing table tennis with a lot of the other hashtag Wolfpack, and guess what? He's really good at it. As you would imagine, he's really good at it. And I suddenly thought, in all our fuss about Pogacar, Van der Poel, you know, in the men's racing scene, you know, having sort of turned everything upside down and everything, he's the one name that kind of like, you have to go, oh, and there's Remco Evenepoel as well, isn't there? And there really is Remco Evenepoel, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him. So I think he's one of the best races I saw last year was the San Sebastian Classic, and I thought his, you know, just the simplicity with which he did that was breathtaking.
Incredible backhand.
And he's got an incredible backhand. And isn't it so irritating that he's really good at table tennis, but not surprising.
Did he hold the bat really properly, or did he hold the table tennis bat properly, or did he do one of those kind of sort of almost holding it upside down type ways?
I think
of
people
playing.
Stopped doing that and thinking it was cool in about 1978.
Did they?
But he was really good at football as well. I mean, he wasn't just a footballer, he was a really good footballer.
Under 16 and under 17 level, or under 15 and under 16 level.
Playing for Anderlecht, a big Belgian team, yeah.
Listen, this is our final podcast of 2019. We'll be back in the new year, obviously. It's been a great year, hasn't it, Lionel?
It has been a great year, yeah. I just can't think of any outstanding moments. The whole year
I'm not
is
for an outstanding
moment. The whole year has been a great year.
It's been a good year.
It's been a brilliant year.
It's been a good cycling year, and it's been a good year for us as well.
Has been a great year.
Thank you for joining us, Ned, in this final episode of 2019.
I was hanging on Lionel's final assessment of why it's been a great year. I mean, but it never came.
As he's already explained, his brain isn't working very well today.
No, I think just the variety of what we've done this year has been... I went off to the Ardennes. I think probably my favourite trip of the year was the trip to Flesh Wallonne and Liège-Bastogne-Liège.
Favourite trip of the year?
Yeah, trying to come to some level of understanding of those races. I feel like for an outsider, I understand the Flemish races reasonably well. I get Flanders. I don't really get Wallonia. I didn't really understand it. But talking to the poet and novelist Patrick McGuinness about the Ardennes, he grew up there, and getting an understanding of it on a sort of not a cycling level first, before I went, little things started to drop in for me. But the most, this is a story I've not told on the podcast, but Simon, the photographer, and I were staying on the outskirts of Liège on the Saturday before Liège-Bastogne-Liège, having come over from where we were staying in a bit more in the countryside. We wanted to be in the city, ready for the start. And I'd booked a hotel on a very popular booking website, called booking.com, thinking I was booking a perfectly normal hotel. We arrived having been told that check-in wasn't until 7 o'clock, which we thought was a bit odd. So when we arrived, the lady greeted us and said our rooms wouldn't be ready till 7 o'clock. She was very adamant about that. The interior was quite burlesque, I'd say, and we wondered what on earth was going on. My football team, or our football team, Watford, were playing Wolves. I'm digressing here, but bear with me. So we went and sat out directly outside the establishment in Simon's camper van with the laptop on the dashboard watching the football. And while we were there, a man came out and looked at what we were doing very dubiously. And over the course of 90 minutes, we saw several, what you would say were mismatched couples, arriving to check into this hotel.
As soon as you said establishment, I knew where this was going.
Yeah, well, we were breathtakingly naive about this. And I kept thinking, why are these people allowed to check in at 4 o'clock, 4.30, 5 o'clock? Then we saw one of the couples...
You're saying that you and Simon weren't a mismatched couple?
We were, Ned, but not in that way. And it turned out that perhaps this hotel, in inverted commas, was more accustomed to renting rooms out by the hour than by the night. And we suddenly realised that the man who'd been scouting in the camper van with us sitting in there with the laptop open probably thought we were undercover police or something. staking out the place. It was all a bit strange anyway. Without even going back into the premises, we metaphorically made our excuses and left.
And you say you're selecting this as your highlight of the year.
It just came to my mind as quite an unusual. It was the most unusual accommodation that I'd stayed in or not stayed in on this occasion since the place in northern Spain where the bat was living in my room.
Weirdest room. I had a room in Turkey on the tour of Turkey this year that had 8 beds in it.
Which one? How did you choose which one to use?
None of them were great. It did was you, extraordinary.
Did you try them all out like Goldilocks?
I did. I had to.
Right, listen, let's wrap things up. A few thank yous for this final 2019 podcast. First of all, thanks to Rafa for supporting us the last 3.5 years. Thank you very much also to Science and Sport for continuing to sponsor the cycling podcast. You can get your discount, of course, with SISCP25 at scienceandsport.com. Thank you very much indeed to Science and Sport. Thanks to Jonathan Rowe, who's done so much work to set up the new system for Friends of the Podcast. It's working, I mean, it's night and day compared to the old system, so thanks very much to him for all the work he's done on that. Thanks to David Luxton, who helps us with all kinds of businessy things with the podcast. Thanks to Charlie Talbot, who helped us with our recent Grand Tour, and his colleague Martin. Thanks to Toby Trotman, who helped us with our book. Thanks to our producers Adam Bowie, John Mooney, Will Jones, Tom Wally. Thanks to Simon Gill, our photographer. And thanks to Stacey Snyder, who made the beautiful cups that we sold this year to raise money for good causes. And thank you to the Wold Top Brewery as well, who hosted our first ever Wold Championship, our bike ride during the World Championships. That was a fantastic day, one of my highlights of the year. Anyone else to thank, Lionel, before we sign off?
Well, most importantly, thank you to all of our listeners for listening to the Cycling Podcast over the last 12 months. We hope you'll be with us for another adventure next year. In the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And thank you to Ned for joining us final podcast. Thank you.
I've enjoyed it. Well done.
You've been listening to The Cycling Podcast. Subscribe to our newsletter at thecyclingpodcast.com to get all the latest news and special offers delivered straight to your inbox. This episode was edited and produced by Tom Wally.